This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour, leading you down the road to optimal living with Dr. Kevin Wallace and Dr. Zahara Sundermeyer. The doctors will focus on the foundations of health and newfound therapies you may not even know existed. Come join us on the path to your optimal life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Kevin and Dr. Zahara.
Hope you're all doing well on this fine Thursday.
I know, it's a beautiful day today here in Tucson, Arizona. So
I know, I was slightly upset that at this perfect time of day I'm inside, but outside is calling me real quick, so we'll see.
Well, next time next time we'll just do it outside.
We should try that, then our screens will be totally just
bright, it'll be nature.
We'll be whited out, but it will be outside.
That'll be fantastic. So
fantastic.
I know, I was rushing today because I met with a lovely chiropractor here in town, Dr.
Awesome.
Brooks, On the Go Chiropractic. So we are in the works of doing some fantastic things here in Tucson. So
awesome.
I know this is the first of Dr. Sundermeyer hearing about it, but
yeah, let's find about it on live on TV.
Oh, live on television, so we can see the true response.
I'll try to hold my eyes in place.
So it was fantastic. We had a great talk about how we can bring life-enhancing medicine into the chiropractic realm, just because I love manipulation. I love the whole totality of bringing in different modalities. And so he has a good concept. And so he wanted to bring in something that we do. And so we kind of met. And it's like, you know, the peanut butter and chocolate or whatever, when they come together, it's like, oh, that's fantastic.
Well, and especially with you and what you do with your regenerative joint injections works beautifully for individuals that are dealing with joint pain.
I mean, correct.
You can't beat that.
And then obviously the talk today, because we also talked about men's health and testosterone at his clinic, because he sees a lot of clientele, obviously
Dr.
men.
Dr. Wallace. Where is he? Are you up?
If you point up, that's where I'm at. It's like you're.
Because you're down here in my screen.
I know, but I'm up.
Okay. Dr. Wallace is a fantastic physician when it comes to treating men for testosterone therapy, but also just men that are feeling like their sexual vigor is not where it should be, or they'd like it to be, or maybe their partner is, you know, 10 to 20 years younger, and you know, their partner's vigor is a little bit more elevated.
Yeah. And so obviously, you know, we'll talk about more in depth about testosterone, but that, I think what drives a lot of men into the clinic is that concept, but
right.
So many other things are incorporated with testosterone that it helps out a myriad of things, which we'll get to obviously today. And so I just wanted to say our weekend was fantastic. We went ahead and went up to Sedona. We hung out, went on a pottery kick.
Yes, Dr. Wallace is hardcore into pottery right now. We went all over the area looking for a specific cup that was small to put his espresso in because he is now a pottery buff. So we have to be aware of this.
It's not as big as a coffee cup. You want it just right. And so.
And he has to have thumbprints. This is the key. There has
exactly.
to be a thumbprint to hold.
It has to fit perfectly upon the hand. And so we went to this place in Cottonwood. That had a local artisan that made these perfect cups. I was like, man, fantastic. And they weren't off the chart expensive. The glazing was fantastic.
Beautiful glaze work. Absolutely. I'm quite happy. I think my mother is quite jealous, but it'll work.
Yes. And so that was fantastic. And plus you have to watch the Great Pottery Throwdown on YouTube?
On YouTube. That's what got us into pottery in the first place and making us pretend that we could be pottery stars, right?
Yes. So the wheel is coming, and now with these new cups, you don't have to have a wheel. They actually will take the clay and flat it and fold it and then pinch everything together. And so I'm like,
how he's like a pottery theme now, guys. Do you see all this?
I know. So I'm like stoked. So right. Obviously, logistics, we are in Fusion Health.
And yes.
So I'm Dr. Wallace.
And I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And so obviously you can contact the radio show, send us questions in regards to email, as well as private message us through Instagram. Those probably ways are probably the easiest if you need to answer questions, or if you have questions, by all means, we'd like to hear from you. If you do have any questions, so please contact us. I think Dr. Sonnemeyer has the number.
I should have the number.
I know, it's like one of our show outlines.
Sorry about that, guys. But just so that you are aware, we are on Instagram, and we encourage you to follow us just so that you can kind of see what we're up to, but also if there's any discounts that we're having, in-office specials. And granted, we are a telemedicine clinic, so in-office just means our personal inventory. Like last month, we had 25% off a couple different supplements, so you were able to catch some great deals. But you can also give a call into the show at 844-390-8255. Again, that's 844-390-8255. And now we get to talk a little bit about some promotions that our clinic is having this February.
Yeah, so February, we're offering 25% off our initial evaluation. So regularly $235, 25%. Second knocks it down to $176. Yeah. So you get to talk to us about your ailments, how ways we can actually improve your health. I'm doing 10% off of peptides. And so if there are specific peptides, you can go ahead and contact. Obviously, the patients that are already on peptides, this is for you as well. But if any new patients, a simple consultation, a peptide consultation, that we can get you started on some of the peptides. So you just have to mention this talk. I said the tea talk, so you can contact Laura. She'll know. It's like, if you say, hey, I saw Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, it's about the tea talk. And then Absolutely. She can go ahead and put in the discount.
And this discount is through February. So if you guys hear this and it is February 27th and you give a call for your appointment, we'll go ahead and honor that.
Mm-hmm. So right. I think we get started, right? Or
yeah. So let's talk a little bit about testosterone. And I think something to start with is obviously symptoms of low testosterone. And I want to focus more with this conversation on men today, because we've talked a lot about women. Mm-hmm. And so this one is geared directly towards you gentlemen or your husbands, ladies. Yeah. And so, Dr. Wallace, I mean, in your experience, what would you say are some of the biggest symptoms of low testosterone that men are coming in with mm-hmm. that we're not even associating with testosterone?
Oh, gosh. Depression, fatigue, I'd say loss of confidence as well as memory. Mm-hmm. And also the drive. And that's not just sex drive. It's like I talked to a lot of guys that used to, I think guys in general are sometimes the entrepreneur, mm-hmm. females as well in that regards. But I think the guy that came in, it's like, well, I used to be able to go to work, and then I would come home and I'd sit there and try to make something in the shop, or I'd sit there and read okay. three different books. And now I can only do one thing and that's over and I can't do that anymore. Okay. And so I think testosterone plays a big role in our mental drive to go ahead and want to do other things with mm-hmm. our spouse, just in general, wanting to go ahead and learn how to do the drums.
Or to experience life, it sounds like.
Yeah, just experience life. And so I think obviously majority of men, especially older, come in for sexual kind of dysfunction in regards to that. But I really think that testosterone plays more of a role and hearing their story out, which obviously we do a lot of, and sit there saying, well, you have memory loss, you're fatigued, you have muscle loss, you know, those types of things. And then the drive to want to go ahead and actually do more.
Well, and even in individuals that tend to be more physical, we tend to see men who don't feel their stamina anymore. And I think that's an important word, because it's kind of like the idea of lost drive. It's the idea of like, oh, I can't run as far as I used to, right? Or the idea of still being able to come home and work in my shop, and I can't do that anymore. It's that stamina of the day that Correct. We're noticing that men are losing as well. So, I mean, we can definitely, and we will touch on the fact that decreased libido, erectile dysfunction, but also erectile quality, which I think is important to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, the firmness of an erection is really important in a male world, but also for the act itself. As well as orgasm quality, sensitivity are really important. Yes. But I think what we get away from with all of these awesome men's commercials that you hear about, you know, low muscle and low erectile function, it's like, no, it's so much more for men because of it being their primary hormone. Where women, we have estrogen and progesterone with the dad, you know, a dab of testosterone.
No, you don't need as much as men.
But yeah, not as much. No. But you know, it's definitely not our primal. We're men. It's like you have all testosterone and very, very small amounts of estrogen and progesterone, and that's correct. Where I think it's so important for people to realize that this is not just a sex drive hormone.
No, not at all.
This is so important for so many different arenas, as you know, you were saying.
Right.
What about sleep?
Well, it plays a huge role in sleep. So in regards to brain function, serotonin levels, cortisol, testosterone imbalances, those types of things, which we'll get to more when we talk about specifically sex drive. And I think most men and females think, again, we always talk about this probably every episode. I can work 10 hours and then I can go home and try to be with the kids. And then I have an hour to have sex, but I'm so worn out. It must be my testosterone.
Correct.
And it's like, no, it's just your sleep. It's your quality of sleep. It's how you turn on different hormones and other neurotransmitters, and testosterone plays a huge important role in regards to that, in regards to dopamine and serotonin.
Okay.
So you're correct. And so growth hormone as well, which will, you know, one of the male hormones as well. So those things need to come into play in regards to sleep. So let's say everything is going great. And the men I talked to goes, yeah, my sex is pretty good. I have, you know, a good erection 2 times a week. I'm happy with that, but I can't sleep. It feels like I'm a little more depressed. And, you know, their testosterone, it's at 400. Well, they're still representing with signs of testosterone deficiency. So that's the whole concept about these ranges of testosterone, where one range is not necessarily pertinent to another gentleman. And so those are the things, looking at the whole totality and asking them these questions, taking good notes, and then seeing the whole totality of things in regards to the life in that regard. So, you know, not to skip to think, but I had a very fantastic patient, which testosterone symptoms for, I think in general, just getting younger and younger and younger because our toxic environment. And I just, the chiropractor I just spoke with, he goes, yeah, he just read a good study about all the birth control pills that are dumped out into our water supply that don't get filtered on out. So if you have this sangbane dissolved into our water supply and it's very estrogenic, that no wonder that we're just getting worse and worse and worse, because, you know, we can get out all the pesticides, but sometimes we don't get out medication.
Correct.
And so there's a great study in regards to what he went ahead and researched and found on out. But this gentleman, I think he's around 24, had depression his whole life. And I was like, well, has anybody tested your testosterone? No doctor did, because at 24, it's like, why do you think you need it?
Why?
So his testosterone came back at 7.
7.
This was the lowest I've ever seen in my life. I was like, this has to be an anomaly. So,
and now this is obviously something I've not heard of. So I'm going to ask this question because this is important when it comes to testing. Now, is that a 7 of total testosterone?
That's a 7. That's a 7 total, not a free. It's now, like, what? Free, that'd be, you know, all right. But that was total.
Total
testosterone. And so, correct. And so I was like, well, this must be an anomaly. I think we checked him again. And this is the facility that we work with in California. Yeah, it came back pretty much around the same, around 10.
Oh my.
And so I was like, well, let's give you some testosterone. And within 2 weeks, the first thing that he noticed when he walked into the door, obviously less depression, but he noticed that he was happy and he had a drive again. It wasn't sexual. It wasn't anything like that. It was just the whole concept of having confidence.
Wow.
Of being out in public and having the confidence to actually put yourself forth out there.
And that's something that I hear a lot with testosterone for both men and women there's a sense of security with it. It is our confidence hormone. It gives us our strength, not only physically, but mentally as well.
Correct. And so it was fantastic.
That's awesome.
So, you know, so obviously we had to check other pathways, you know, his pituitary, and making sure that he didn't have, you know, a pathway abnormality or some kind of tumor or you know, anything like that that was going on. So we checked all those other things. And unfortunately, it's like in our environment, he was just low. And so there might be genetics, there might be chemical aspects.
Well, and just makes you wonder what the environment that he grew up in, what his parents grew up in, what his mother and father, and how their environmental impacts affected the way he grew embryologically, because that's a lot that I'm learning about with my fertility training. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, just the impact of your parents and your grandparents on your health. Now, with a 24-year-old male, just so we have this gentleman at, you know, 7 or 10, mm-hmm. depending on your retest.
Yeah.
What would we expect him to be at if we're looking at a total testosterone?
Jeez, 1,000?
Okay.
Like that's you know, that would love to see him up towards 1,000.
So of 100%, he had like 1% testosterone available.
And that's, you know, and the misconception is like someone that's young, we don't want to obviously put him in just on testosterone, but sometimes I start there just because you need the receptors to understand. It's like, hey, it's testosterone again. Right. Let's energize. Let's not put them on just Clomid. Let's maybe put them on both or HCG so we can go ahead and like, right. But I think for the first month, it's like, oh man, it's all right. We're just doing testosterone. Your pathways aren't going to crash because of a month. Let's make you feel better. And then we obviously check and put them on cycling with Clomid and HCG and try to see where we can stabilize on that. Obviously clean up his nutrition and, you know, lifestyle and stuff like that. But you know, I'm running into that more and more in regards to younger and younger.
And I think environment, like you said, has so much to do with it. It makes you wonder, you know, where we'll be in another 15 years with our young people and, mm-hmm. and, you know, wellness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like one of those screening things we always talk about. And it's like out of high school, it's like everybody should be screened for chemicals, heavy metals, and their hormones. We might save a lot of medical costs and then in the future if we find that they're very high in heavy metals or very high in chemicals and their hormones are just in the tank.
Correct.
And we actually might save ourselves a lot of money later on in regards to medical expenses. So
let's talk a little bit about, there are two forms of what's called hypogonadism, primary and secondary. And what is the biggest cause with that?
Well, obviously, it's like if we're young and it's primary, something's happening at the testicular cause. So usually if we're testing testosterone mm-hmm. and it's low, their LH and FSH should be high because they're not getting negative feedback up into those pathways. So we have to find out. Obviously, did they have castration? did they go ahead and get trauma? In regards to the testicular function, something happened in regards to chemotherapy. Did they have mumps? Did they have some type of disease in the past that's obviously rendering their testes with Leydig cell that obviously makes the testosterone just not able to produce? And so if we find those things, then, you know, obviously we can help on out in regards to supplying testosterone, maybe helping on out with the pathways, mm-hmm. finding out if there's concurrent infections going on, if there is trauma, can we heal from the trauma in regards to the testicular function? So those are the things that we need to go ahead and find out.
Right. Okay. And now, and then obviously secondarily, meaning secondary hypogonadism, meaning mm-hmm.
like a pituitary deficiency, LH or FSH deficiency, a prolactin or hyperprolactinemia, those types of things.
And obviously things that can cause, which I think is important to discuss with men today, is things that can cause a low LH and FSH level are steroids. Mm-hmm. And there are so many young men in their teens, their 20s, their 30s that think that they have to be ripped or just have muscles for days and have to be so strong that they go through steroid cycles, which, you know, anabolic steroids, so they're testosterone like, right? But they're cutting off the pathway from the brain to the testes. And what that does is it basically cuts off the natural production of testosterone. So I actually have a patient who did this when he was younger. And then, of course, after the fact, had a low LH level, transfer luteinizing hormone, and had no testosterone production. So his primary put him on testosterone, and he's now in his early 30s at this point. And continued testosterone therapy, although it could be beneficial for him, because he was so young, it cut off his pathways. And now he's got a lot of suppression going on of those pathways, and we haven't been able to get them started again, which can be frustrating for men that are going through things like wanting to have kids or, you know, and that's the big scary thing about testosterone less than 40 is what's called secondary hypogonadism, because you're basically stopping that natural pathway from occurring. And I just, you know, I'm seeing so many men today with testosterone that would like, I should say, testosterone therapy, and they're getting younger and younger. And I have a real specific no under 40, unless your labs really say like your 24-year-old male patient.
Correct.
You know, and there are so many clinics that are just delving it out.
Right, and they're not doing it appropriately. You know, no. It's like learning how to cycle, learning how to feed the pathways.
Right.
And the younger generation, they had a great study in regards to the ESPN. Talk about it. It's like if you can be a world-class athlete and you know that taking testosterone will prevent you maybe possibly passing away, like at, I think it was 34, mm-hmm. majority of all the kids in high school, like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it.
Yep.
And so they're, you know, it's like when we're young, we don't think we're going to make it to 40.
Mm-mm.
We don't think about those. So yeah. When we see physicians that are doing it inappropriately, or just seeing someone that's 22 years old and they might be at the gym and they see the guy that's a little bit ripped and goes, what are you doing, man? I was like, I can't get yoked like that. And he's like, well, I'm taking testosterone. You know, we get those questions all the time. Hey doc, can you hook me up with testosterone? It's like, no, man, you got to work for it.
Yeah.
You know, here's some things you can do naturally to go ahead and help on out with testosterone. You know, work your legs, eat well, eat your cholesterol. You know, I think it's, you know, testosterone is made from cholesterol and acetate.
Okay.
And those types of things. So eat your fats. Those, you know, all those things can be incorporated with why guys just have low testosterone. And if they're really serious, just like, let's do some testing. Or maybe not if you grew up as a welder, or if you grew up in our farming land or our farmland in the Central Valley, we probably know you're already toxic.
Right.
So let's work on those things and try to get it back on up. And those are the things that I think the newer commercials with the supplementation, they no longer say increase your testosterone. It's now increase your free testosterone.
Correct.
Because if that kid was a 10, there's no amount of tribulus and horny goat weed and ashwagandha and anything that's going to raise that up. There's just not. And so those things are the things that you have to use an exogenous testosterone, increase them on up. And then maybe once you're at the goal, then do some adaptogenic herbs to make sure that their stress is under control. They're converting from, you know, total to free by utilizing different herbs and zinc and boron and these different types of things that can improve, like I said, their total testosterone. But the myth is going from 100 to 1,000 because you take an herb. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's just insane.
Not likely.
Okay. Unless, like I said, you do some things different.
Okay. Well, I think that that's a really important topic in testosterone therapies when it comes to mm-hmm. men. Because there are people that are getting it from somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Or no, anything from India and China.
Correct. Or they just get it from the guy at the gym, man.
Well, right, but where's the guy?
I know, where's the guy at the gym getting it from?
You know, I feel like I grew up with just too good people, like too many good people, is that the word to say it? Or like, I never was like, how do I get that? How do you get these things? Like,
I know. It's like, exactly.
You just, you know, say hi to someone one day and be like, do you have access to steroids? Like, how do you do that?
And that initial conversation over coffee, it's like, yeah, it looks like you're pretty ripped. Can you get me some testosterone?
You're injecting yourself with something there, stranger. Oh, my God. But yeah, so I think super important, you know, the younger you are, the more likely you are to affect testicular function for mm-hmm. those days when you are in your late 20s, in your 30s. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as you age continually, the reliance of your body on this hormone is huge.
Correct. And so some of the myth is, it's like, well, if you're perfectly fine and your body naturally reduces testosterone, is that perfectly fine? And it's like, yes, no. It's like, it all depends, because again, so testosterone is not just for us to have libido. It's for our bone health and heart health, which is another myth in regards to a difference between an oral and an injectable and how it affects our inflammatory markers and our cardiovascular health. Prostate cancer, which obviously Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler somewhat demystified.
Okay.
To saying it's technically not a cause for cancer, those types mm-hmm. of things, or otherwise everybody from between the ages of 18 to 25 should have testicular cancer. And
correct.
So he did great studies in regards to people that had low testosterone, and they're actually more prevalent to have prostate cancer. So again, all those things that just have to be met with someone that knows their stuff or know it appropriately and just.
Well, I was speaking with a gentleman when I went to a training a couple weekends ago, and he's a urologist, and he's been a urologist for 30 years. And he was saying that, you know, his primary focus is prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was basically saying that the body needs less, like 50 nanograms of testosterone to stimulate prostate cancer, which basically all men have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Lydia, again, is it really the flame, or is it, you know, Is correct. It really such a retard?
Is it the driving? Yeah, the driving force to testicular cancer is not test. There's no study that technically shows that, because they, again, castrated males had test or prostate cancer, those types of things. So you just have to meet someone that really knows what they're doing. There's a great book, which I'll plug for another physician. His name is Dr. Gio Espinoza. And it's like, you know, Thrive, Don't Only Survive Prostate Cancer. So a good book to read so you can understand a little bit more about things you can do for prostate cancer. But, you know, as men age, you know, we want to sit there and stay as young as possible. And even though testosterone is not like the gold standard anti-aging hormone, it's very important. So, you know, other things that testosterone is incorporated with. So I have a lot of gentlemen that come in, they still want to be athletes. They mm-hmm. want to go ahead and prevent, you know, osteoporosis and all those things. And testosterone is important for bone health.
Okay.
So it actually influences osteoblastic and the osteoclastic activity of basically bone remodeling.
Which is basically the bone breakdown and bone rebuilding, which naturally takes place in both the male and female body.
Correct. And so, you know, those are the things that, again, so as we age, it's like, you know, well, do we want to have more osteoporosis? Do I want to have a total knee? You know, or do we want to have all those issues? It's like, no, I don't. So as you know, that when I said earlier, it's like, well, as we age, testosterone goes down. Is that a good thing? No, not in my opinion.
I also think it's about a time frame that we're in too, because there are men that I've tested who come in with concerns of testosterone therapy, but they work in a labor-driven environment. You know, they're constantly moving, they're constantly lifting, they're constantly using their muscles, and they look muscular only because of their work, right? That used to be the primary exercise we got. We were farmers, we were cattle ranchers. We had to do something more outdoors 100 to 150 years ago. So our labor has also shifted. You know, there are so many men today that their job is to sit behind a desk.
Wow.
And over time, that affects weight. The more fat tissue that a man has, the higher effects of aromatase, which means more conversion to estrogen, which increases adipose tissue or fat cells. Correct. So, I mean, I think there's a big conversation as men also age and testosterone declines, is that there's a lack of muscle use or a lack of muscle in general because of how...
sedentary or workplaces.
Thank you. We're very sedentary, and there's so many people that are, and it's no fault of their own. It's their profession. You know, it's kind of like for me, my profession, a lot of the day is sitting behind a desk and being inside when I want to be outside. So I, even though I'm a physician and I do my best to be healthy, I have a sedentary job, right? I walk from either one room to another. I'll run to the kitchen. I'll run to the restroom, but I sit down all day. And, you know, the question ultimately is how many of, you know, our patients out there or people listening today are seated for more than 5 hours a day?
Correct. And those are the things that increase testosterone, large muscle mass movement. So I always tell guys when I see guys, it's like, well, if you are sedentary, about every 45 minutes, you're going to come up and you're going to do a wall sit or you're going to do a simple stationary squat. Those types of things, and just try to get those large muscles moving again. So you're correct. More sedentary we are, lower testosterone. That's how it is. It's like if we don't move, testosterone doesn't necessarily need to maintain function, because testosterone helps the body preserve nitrogen. And nitrogen was obviously utilized in muscle remodeling and muscle maintenance and all those things. And so when we're sedentary and we're testosterone deficient, you know, now we've become this big bowl of jello. So, you know, do I need to give you testosterone, or do I need you to, like I said, we need to get you more physically active with movement therapy and just try to get the body moving. Mm-hmm. And now let's see how you go when you're maybe more out of baseline of appropriateness. Unless you're so low, then it's like, great. Then let's maybe do some things to speed the recovery, because that's what, you know, we're in business for, trying to make people better, faster, but appropriate.
Right. Well, and I think that's another important caveat, which can differentiate ourselves from a lot of different other facilities. We're not here to just delve out testosterone, because if that's all we really did, I don't think you'd get the benefit that you were looking for.
Correct.
You know, with proper supplementation, with proper exercise regimens, with discussing diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, staying away from the dirty dozen, sugar, inflammatory foods, you know. Well, so there's like, when I say there's one diet that fits all, just stay away from crap. You know, which is tough. It's just tougher than, you know, what it is, you know.
It's so much harder.
It is extremely hard. Even though we had a very fantastic pizza at a place in Sedona called Picasso's, which is very, very good.
So good. Yeah, sad them. You should put them in Tucson.
Yeah, I know.
Not only did they have gluten-free, they had dairy-free options for me. I was astonished.
I know.
That was happy awesome. Beyond all belief.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. And so, you know, muscle frailty. And so those are things when guys come in, it's like, I'm not as strong because I can't maintain muscle mass, lean muscle mass, more body fat. And so, okay, well, let's check out all the other parameters. How is your libido? How is your drive? How is your depression? Do you feel like you're more depressed? You know, you're not, like I said, is it vibrant or vitality, or, you know, not as vibrant? And then they say, yes. It's like, well, let's test, see what's going on. And if they're at a low range, and so that's, again, the misconception. It's like 300 is well within the range of normal parameters, 280 to 1200. And so you can be 281 and you see a conventional medical doctor and they'll be like, man, you're good.
Testosterone's fine, but you're presenting with all the symptoms.
Yep, of androgen deficiencies. And so let's find someone that really knows.
If we have a gentleman, let's say in their 50s, and he's coming in with, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've already talked about, erectile function issues. He can have an erection, but the quality is not as strong as he would like it. He's noting that his drive is decreasing and he's feeling weaker. I mean, we check his testosterone level and let's say it's 300. Mm-hmm. What would be a great goal range to find someone in if we're looking for a testosterone level?
Well, So that's always a tough call if he's at that. And so as we try to build him on up, and that's why we obviously see them on a regular basis. So the lowest amount of testosterone to create the benefit is fantastic. So okay. I think as physicians, it's like, I'd love to see him around 700-800.
Right.
But at 700-800 for him, he might sit there and see it's actually having the reverse effect, which those are the things that people don't understand. It's like, you can be on, great, man, my testosterone 1200, but I'm still having libido issues and now I'm more depressed.
Right.
Those types of things. You can actually have the reverse effect. Okay. And so finding the sweet spots with people, either physiological or biochemical. So he might only need to go ahead and go up 100 points and he starts to feel fantastic. Okay. And so that's why meeting with patients where they're at, talking to them, having labs done, those are the things that it's all dependent.
So let's talk a little bit about what you just touched on, because I think that a lot of people don't think that there's a negative side to testosterone. Mm-hmm. And you and I have been talking recently about that there is a negative side to testosterone. Yeah. And obviously we know the common side effects to too much testosterone tends to be mood instability, specifically like anger and quick to frustrate, et cetera, mm-hmm. like things along those mood irritability stages. But you're also talking about depression here.
Yeah. So it can actually create more depression. It can go ahead and burn out some of the neurotransmitters that the testosterone is responsible for, dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine.
Wow.
And so you can have a high testosterone and feel like, wow, I should be feeling great. But we have to look at the whole totality of things. You know, do you have a genetic predisposition of holding on? Like Dr. Sundermeyer said, testosterone cascades to estrone and estrone, and those things cascade to other metabolites. And so you're at 1200 and it feels like, I feel like crap and I'm more depressed. And it's like, well, sometimes we're going to have to do your analysis and see what's going on with all the metabolites. You might have a defect in your COMT and like those types of things, just because, you know, you're too high.
Okay. So and depression, so, mood variability. And then obviously with some testosterone, you have to monitor estrogen as well.
Yep. Estrogen, DHT. Mm-hmm. And sex hormone binding, globulin, those are the parameters, or some of them. There's obviously, you know, this talk is specifically on testosterone, but the whole cascade of the steroidogenic pathway, DHEA. So again, it's like more studies are coming out, a low DHEA has an all-cause mortality of cardiovascular disease and stuff like that. So it's not just cholesterol, it's the whole totality of things. And so those are the things we want to know, because if a guy's DHEA is low and he's 18, mm-hmm. Well, DHEA cascades to testosterone. So do we just need to go ahead and feed that pathway and get your DHEA, you know, like stabilized and, you know, your cofactors so it actually can convert over to testosterone? and they start to feel great at that time.
Well, and I think that you bring up a really good point as well, is the idea of the way cholesterol is what builds DHEA, and then DHEA builds testosterone in the body. But say we now have a very high percent of our population, especially our male population, on a statin. You know, how is that affecting, I shouldn't even have to say how, because it's obvious, you stop the cholesterol, you stop the downstream conversation. And so obviously, I think another thing that we're starting to see is statin-induced hypogonadism, which is not something we talked about when we talked about, you know, low testicular function or hypogonadism.
Yeah, you're just not feeding the pathway. So you're still going to die of a heart attack, but now you're going to have dementia and Alzheimer's, and you're going to have no hormones and, you know, those types of things. And so, you know, again, I'm not against medications, but a lot of times I see patients, they're on 80 milligrams.
I've seen a couple people for years on that dose.
Yeah,
and the testosterone is like 90.
Yeah,
and then they're killing their cholesterol.
Yeah, and they've never been reduced. So it's like, all right, well, meet the patient, you know, taper them off. Maybe they only need 5 milligrams to make, you know, conventional medical labs happy, but their body's still able to produce what it needs to produce. You don't, you know, in our theory or our thing, it's like, well, if you need it, you know, eventually I want to take you off of it. It's like, I just need to make headway right now, and then let's see what we can do in 2 or 3 months and take you off of this crap if it's needed. So those things can lead. It's like, again, we talk about libido. So testosterone and libido go hand in hand.
Okay.
So again, that's sex drive, you know, when we're 18, not to be gross or anything like that, but the wind blows, and usually guys will have an erection, or they'll think about women. They'll think about all the fantasies that go along with it. And then those things taper on off. And so those are the things that obviously asking a man, and they go, libido, what is libido? And it's like, well, just your desire to want to have sex. Do you actually think about it? You know, it's like our thoughts are supposed to be your men's thoughts. It's like, you know, we have work, but it's like, sex. Okay. More work and more play. It's like, oh, sex. And so if we're not having those thoughts, then it could be, like I said, a testosterone deficiency.
Right. So not even just the desire to have it, but the thought of it is important for a natural male, libido.
Yeah, the whole fantasy. It's like, well, this is how I want to do it. You know, this is, I see my wife or my girlfriend, and I have this fantasy about, you know, whatever. And, you know, those are the questions, you know, sometimes it gets personal and into the interview, but it's like, those are the questions they ask. It's like, do you have fantasies about, you know, sex? And they go, I've never had. Well, I haven't had one in like 5 years.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, maybe there's some issue.
Which goes into the idea that it's not just physical. People's response. It's also an emotional and mental response to the way the body functions healthily.
I agree. You know, those are not, again, not to be gross, but, you know, it's like, do you masturbate? You know, those types of things. If they never do, or they sit and say, I used to, but I don't anymore because I just don't have the time, or just don't have the desire, then those are, like I said, questions that lead you into that kind of realm. I find out as well, it might be a testosterone, like I said, deficiency.
Well, which is also nice that men can see a man versus a woman sometimes, because I'm sure those questions are never always comfortable with women versus men,
Well, I agree. And the same thing for females. It's like, you know, we both see of the opposite sex, but it's like, you know, it'd be nice to see a female to talk about these things.
And we've done that a couple of times. Where I've gotten some of your patients because they have hormone questions and they don't want to ask Dr. Wallace. And I thought that was the best conversation I ever had with one of your patients. You don't have to feel worried about that. We all get it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good being a doctor. So I agree. And then, so, you know, after, you know, this, I have this thing lovely come out or printed on out. So it goes from libido to erectile function. And so this is where I think a lot of guys and females in regards to testosterone think that you take this miracle hormone, then you're just supposed to have, you know, an erection that's going to last, and it's going to be like it was when we're 18. And so it does help on out with nitric oxide and vasodilation and stuff like that. But there are so many other things in regards to erectile function from a man's standpoint or a female standpoint. Any medication, beta blockers, blood pressure meds, cholesterol, you know, those types of things interfere with that. Sleep, health. And do I have metabolic syndrome? Am I actually eating, you know, blood flow to the penis? So testosterone, again, is a fantastic hormone to help out with the totality of immune function and helping out with all of those things, but it is definitely not the end all in regards to erectile dysfunction. So right. It sells them.
Obviously something that needs to take place during the appointment, which is why when right. we check your labs, the number of different tests that are run isn't just testosterone in total.
Correct. Exactly. And those are the things that I hear, obviously, radio ads. And I know it sells because every guy has erectile dysfunction at a certain time. You know, those types of things. If no one does, then man, they've led a good life, you know, in that regards. But then you hear the radio ad. It's like, if you just have erectile dysfunction and on testosterone, you know, I don't know what else they do, but it's just a good selling point because men and erectile dysfunction, as soon as they hear it, testosterone. And it helps certain men, but there's a lot of men that I have testosterone on that they can't still go ahead and have dysfunction. And but then again, they don't want to change their lifestyle. And that's, correct. I think, the biggest thing is changing your lifestyle and having the energy to mm-hmm. actually put forth an effort in your cortisol levels, mm-hmm. making sure the ratio of your cortisol and testosterone are appropriate.
Well, and I think when we talk about cortisol, we're talking about the fight or flight hormone, right? So when it's high, a lot of men have issues getting an erection in general because it goes against the natural parasympathetic response of the state that you need to be in for an erection to take place. Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, and I also think work stress, work anxieties can also affect not necessarily libido, but the actual act of intercourse can be affected by work-life balance, you know, yeah. and you're stuck in financial quandaries, or, you know, you guys are in the middle of, you know, doing some remodel. And, you know, the last thing you guys want to think about, both men and women, I would say, is maybe sex.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's like sex, you know, I always tell my, you know, sex is, it's tough. It's sometimes... it's fantastic, but it's usually an event. It's not like, all right, we're just going to do this in a minute. I can go ahead and be done, and then I'm off to sleep. No.
Working class, working yeah, man statement.
Yeah, right? it takes a while. And so men are very, when I say cerebral, which, you know, we'll talk about cognition in regards to testosterone. So, yeah. So a lot of times with the men, it's like when I talk to them, it's like if they can't perform how they think they should perform, then it's already lost. And I'm, you know, obviously an example. It's like if I'm tired and it feels like, oh, I can't maintain, you know, firmness, those types of things. And as soon as that thought comes into your head, it's over.
Okay.
And so testosterone obviously helps, but it's also a mental aspect to it as well. Just to make sure.
A lot of men deal with more than I think we even realize with the stressors of today's society.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. It's like, so we have to work on that mental component as well to see what's actually some of the hangup.
So let's talk a bit about Alzheimer's and testosterone.
Yeah. So cognition. So I put a very thing here. It says very important. So there are several lanes of evidence in this. There are androgen receptors within the brain, and testosterone is converted to both dihydrotestosterone and estradiol, which are extremely important, obviously, brain function. So that same concept, Alzheimer's, memory loss, just cognition. It's like, hey, I'm just not as sharp. And so, well, let's check your testosterone. Obviously, if you have some other things, you know, if you just have cognition issues, is it just testosterone? If all of a sudden, like, my sex life is great, a muscle mass is fantastic, it might be other things. But cognition is extremely important in regards to testosterone. So,
well, and I think when we, as we age, obviously something that tends to occur is a little bit of frailty, right? And our muscles mm-hmm. become a little bit more weak. We're not as strong as we once were. And that, I think it's important that we sometimes forget that our brain is there, because we're just, it's so, at, you know, we absentmindedly use information every day. We speak every day without thinking about it, because we're just, you know, it's what we do. And yep. I think we forget about, well, when we exercise our bodies, it also helps exercise our mind, because it's not only enhancing blood flow, but the natural testosterone that we get from that exercise encourages, you know, binding of the receptors in the brain. And, you know, that's the same thing with both men and women. Yep. You know, we have estrogen and testosterone receptors in our body and all over our body, not yep. just in our, you know, ovaries and our testes, right? So, and I think that's a huge misconception today about hormones. And, mm-hmm. you know, today in conventional medicine, I think, you know, testosterone is definitely one that's hard for any practitioner to get to
yeah.
prescribe, it seems. But the benefit, I would say, you know, even just in the conversation of, you know, there are receptors for testosterone in your brain, you
correct.
Know, is a huge statement for mm-hmm. people to realize its importance.
Yeah.
And like things that I tell men and women is like your wit. You can tell how good your hormone balance is if you have your wit or your sarcasm Correct. About you. We all have a little Yes. humor associated with the way we speak, and you can tell, you know, how someone is doing just with how is, do you feel like you're, you know, you're laughing?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're, you know, not only happy or noticing, you know, shifts in mood, but do you feel like you have your wits about it? Like, can Yeah. you, can you come back with a snarky remark every now and then? People go, no. And that's a big conversation that I have with both men and women, is they've lost that in the sense of depression. And that is, that's a big change.
Yeah, I agree. And so that's a extremely good point that Dr. Sundermeyer said. It's like, if someone's sarcastic to you, can you come back with that one liner and then just get them like you used to be able
and
to.
And not 10 hours later where you're like in the middle of
oh, I should have said that.
Bed and oh, I should have said this. That's not it. It's being able to kind of get you right then and there. Correct. And it doesn't always have to be negative or rude. It's just always like, you know, mm-hmm. the fun yeah. statements that you even have with your friends that you're, you know, when you're joking around.
Yeah. And so like Dr. Moore said, in regards to exercise perfusion, so testosterone actually increases cerebral perfusion. So as we exercise, testosterone levels go up. Cerebral perfusion can go up because obviously testosterone influences that. Mm-hmm. And so it's an extremely important thing to have the whole totality of everything on board. It's like, we can't just do this and say, well, I never want you to exercise because you shouldn't need it because you're on testosterone. No, you're still going to exercise.
Because it increases your blood flow.
Right. Yeah. And so we already talked about mood in regards to depression and how important it is in regards to that. It's like, if men and women have depression, it can definitely be from a hormone related aspect. And so we want to make sure that we're obviously testing testosterone mm-hmm. just to make sure, that those things are appropriate. Okay. So we want to make sure that the levels are appropriate. And so we're just ruling out stuff. Is this from a biological component, or is it actually from something that you're very deficient in? Or is it something else? So we just want to rule that on out. And if you're extremely low, men and women, then it's like adding some testosterone to go ahead and help on out with those types of symptoms as well.
Okay. And now, so, next, we're talking a little bit about some anemias with testosterone, specifically mm-hmm. erythropoiesis, which means, you know, increased red blood cell count or increased specifically hematocrit. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about what that is.
So just the hemoglobin is obviously a protein that helps transport oxygen. And so hematocrit, same concept in regards to helping us guide us in regards to seeing if right. your blood is actually has too thick per se, or if it has count is too high. If that's the case, obviously we have to rule out dehydration. But these are some of the parameters that we do follow in regards to when we're doing blood testing. If you're on testosterone per se, it can be a blood builder. So if it is, then those are the things that for us, we want them to go ahead and donate blood mm-hmm. to thin it out. But if someone does have anemia, one of the things that can actually help on out is testosterone, because it can actually, like I said, go through erythropoiesis, those types of things. Mm-hmm. An increase in EPO helps on out with the blood builders in the bone marrow. Mm-hmm. So erythropoietin, stimulating effects of testosterone. So those are the things that we can actually do to help on out with certain anemia.
So really beneficial if you have an actual anemia, meaning a low red blood cell count, mm-hmm. but it can also raise your red blood cell count or thicken the blood by having a higher hematocrit, which is talking about the ratio between red blood cell, white blood cells, and fluid.
Correct.
And so I do have a couple men. I would say it's like a 10% of men. Mm-hmm. Of the number of men that I have treating with testosterone, I have a good handful that have to give blood quarterly. So part of their routine labs is also a CBC, which is just stands for a complete blood count, where it's looking at red blood cell count, hemoglobin, hematocrit, and the makeup of those red blood cells, the size, the volume, and the concentration of hemoglobin, to make sure that we're not increasing any issues with men. And
correct. And that's the thing. If the blood is thick, you know, in a sense, it's like it can pool. There can be some issues with that mm-hmm. in regards to, you know, a thrombus formation, those types of things, which when I say very rare, very, very rare. Right. Does that happen? So obviously, you know, one of the biggest myths I think was like, well, if you're on testosterone, you're going to have coronary problems. Right. But a lot of those studies are based upon orals and not the newer technologies of injectables and creams and implants, because obviously as you're going through an oral, It has the tendency to go ahead and be converted into other metabolites that will actually go ahead and increase, like I said, some of these factors and inflammatory markers.
Okay.
But they did great studies in regards to some of the studies which I have here, that actually doing testosterone appropriately in a non-anazone oral actually improves cardiovascular health, as well as all other diseases like diabetes mellitus and stuff like that. So, and metabolic syndrome.
So you're saying oral, more issues when it comes to coronary artery disease versus
Correct.
Injection.
Correct. So, exactly. The different mechanism to go through the system.
Right. That's fantastic. So obviously, not only are we finding safer ways to give testosterone, but we're obviously helping people more with disease.
Yeah, and they're finding out more and more with testosterone cortisol. That balance has to be in play. If you have a higher cortisol or then it crashes down, you possibly can have higher insulin resistance, those types of things. And that can actually lead, and testosterone actually decreases insulin resistance. So those are the things that obviously in this lovely study, whatever, that I'm always constantly trying to find articles in regards to testosterone, because it's something I do a lot of, and educating other physicians and other patients that want to see studies about what, you know, if I'm on testosterone, my doctor told me not to do it because I'm going to have a heart attack.
I'm going to get cancer.
Correct. And so those are the things that it's like, okay, well, here's some studies that sit there and show that's like, you know, obviously, can it happen? Yes. Very rare if it's done appropriately and we're doing it in the right transport or the right delivery method.
Right. Well, that's very cool. There's one last thing that I want to talk about we talked just briefly on it about supporting insulin resistance, but also supporting metabolic syndrome. Decreasing insulin, increasing muscle mass, decreasing adipose tissue, helping with cholesterol balance is another positive benefit to natural testosterone, right? So, you know, elevated cholesterols can balance out when done properly. So, and, you know, metabolic syndrome is not just an overweight individual. It's overweight. It's,
cholesterol issues,
diabetes. So there's a totality of symptoms that are associated with it. And obviously that is something that is affecting a lot of men today, a lot of people today in general in the United States for numerous reasons. And so, you know, for you men, this is something that would be a really great consideration to evaluate. We do have availability to do just basic labs for people. So if you guys want to pop onto our Alta page, altalabs.com/infusionhealth. You can find a male panel there. You can purchase it. Your results go directly to you. You don't even have to see a doctor. You can just get evaluated.
Right.
And it's one of the fantastic things that are available today to the public that, you know, kind of takes some of the pleading towards practitioners out of it, because I have a lot of men and, you know, a lot of patients in general that my doctor just wouldn't do the lab because either your HMO it's not a proper lab in your HMO
but they just don't believe in it. The doctor just doesn't believe in it.
Right.
Like, but you should know testosterone is a controlled substance and I believe in it. And it's like, that's like the worst excuse.
And it's true. I mean, it is a controlled substance, but when used properly, it's a fantastic supporting tool for the body.
Yeah, which is very funny to me that it's, you know, a controlled substance, even though it's natural within our system. So, you know, those are things. Yeah, and those are things that Dr. Sundermeyer and I offer. So if you would love to go ahead and be a client of ours, that we can help you through some of these issues in regards to testosterone deficiencies, hormonal deficiencies in general. So hormone imbalances. Please give us a contact at infusionhealth.org. Again, we always talk about our new website, but it should be coming up this week. Otherwise, I'm going to put it up myself.
I know. Joys of web design and technical difficulties that we don't know how to read, right?
Yeah.
But don't forget to like us on Instagram at @infusion_health. Again, to find out more promotional information and more just information on us. And our talk today on testosterone, I think, was really cool and informative, and I hope you guys learned something about it.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a couple weeks for our next talk. What are we doing our next talk on? Is it finally an adrenal day?
I think it might be an adrenal day.
Oh my God, it's time. We're talking about your lovely cortisol hormones, guys, and different testing mechanisms, what is adrenal fatigue and the different stages of adrenal fatigue, which I think will be really awesome because more and more people are dealing with it when they think it's their thyroid. So one of those fantastic things we look forward to learning about.
I know. So take care of all of our February specials. So if you'd love to see us, this would be a perfect month to go ahead and contact us because it's 25% off of our first initial evaluation. So please give Laura a contact, 520-396-4866. I am Dr. Wallace.
That's Dr. Wallace. I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And you guys are amazing for supporting our lovely clinic.
Absolutely. We hope you guys have a fantastic Thursday. Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend. And
Niners.
Who are we voting? I might have to root for the opposite team.
I know, always. It's okay. Always. It makes for fun.
But stay safe out there this weekend. Don't drink and drive. Uber and Lyft are amazing for that purpose specifically. You guys have a wonderful weekend. And we're going to get it at some point.
You've been listening to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour with Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, bringing the power of health to your listening ears. You can learn more by visiting infusionhealth.org. That's infusionhealth.org. Follow them on social media and join the movement to better health.
Hello, how may I assist you today?
It's a conspiracy.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
You're nuts.
There are 11 edible kinds of nuts.
No, they fry.
What would you like to buy?
No, your snack nuts are fried in oil.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the phrase, your snack nuts are fried in oil.
Fisher oven roasted never fried nuts are never fried. They have nothing to hide. They're just nuts oven roasted with sea salt. That's it. Now go look for the red topped can.
I am putting Fisher oven roasted never fried nuts on your shopping list.
Veterans proudly serve our nation, fighting for the freedoms we all enjoy. But that valor comes with a price. Problem gambling affects veterans up to 4 times the national average. 4 times. But there is help. The Arizona Division of Problem Gambling offers resources and expert counseling to help veterans win their battles with problem gambling. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342. Put yourself out of harm's way.